Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. My hope is to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. It is a simple truth. If students aren't in class, they aren't learning. Attendance is influenced by a complex array of factors, and improving it requires a steadfast commitment from school staff. The team at Woodbury Hills Elementary and Danville Public Schools has embraced this challenge wholeheartedly by integrating positive behavior intervention supports and multi-tiered system of support. They have successfully fostered a positive school culture and significantly enhanced daily attendance. And this spring on the podcast, we're trying to shine a light on the schools and educators that are championing these kind of efforts with a determination and creativity. And Woodbury Hills is one of those schools leading the way. And so their work is not only illustrates the power of persistence, but also highlights how a focused connection and community can drive meaningful change. So here to represent Woodbury Hills is a few guests. I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about Danville Public Schools and Woodbury Hills. So I'll start with you, Robin.
Hi, I'm Robin Brandon. I'm the reading specialist at Woodbury Hills Elementary School. I've been teaching now in our district for 5 years, which is Danville Public Schools District. Woodbury Hills is a elementary school located in Danville, Virginia, which is where we're thriving from. We work closely in partnership with our families and our community to make sure that we're developing a caring and supportive environment for every learner. So it's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
I'm Ashley Harper, and I've been teaching with the school system or working with the Danville Public Schools for 29 years. This is my third year as an instructional coach. I'm a math and science instructional coach here, and this is my third year at Woodbury.
And my name is Rebetta Carr, and I am the instructional literacy coach here at Woodbury Hills. This is my fourth year in the district. I have prior experience in another state. So I'm coming to Danville Public Schools, you know, with a lot of knowledge. But here at Woodbury, I would say this is a family community, just like Ms. Brandon has already stated. We really care about our kids and want to see them succeed.
That's great. I mean, isn't that what we all want, is our students to succeed? Thank you for sharing about Danville and about Woodbury. I know that you guys are doing hard works. And as a former instructional coach, I know that the work that you both do is really important as well as Ms. Brandon, you know, in your role as a reading specialist. It really does take a team to work on some of these things. So first of all, I kind of want to ask a little bit about you all set a goal, a school-wide goal for MTSS and PBIS and on improving student attendance and strengthening intervention participation. Could you walk us through a little bit about how you approach setting these goals and what inspired you to focus on these particular areas?
So I would say at the beginning of the school year, we learned that we were going to be purchasing Branching Minds. And through our tutorial programs, we were able to learn a lot through the platform of how Branching Minds were going to help us support our MTSS and PBIS efforts. So after going through that webinar training, we set an overall school-wide goal to be able to increase our attendance and reduce our chronic absenteeism by strengthening like our positive reinforcements that we had for students, making sure we communicated with our families, making sure that we made meaningful engagement attempts through opportunities with intervention, with small group learning, and as well as remediation. So with that, we wanted to make sure that we implemented supports in making sure all the students and staff were initially bought into the system, like they wanted it just as much as we did. Not to feel like they were receiving a new program or another something that they had to check off the list. So the way we did that was we made it very scaffold for all our teachers and our students to introduce it to them, show them the platform, walk them through it, tell them how it supports what they're already doing, but it automatically put it in the system for them. And I think that kind of made teachers relax a little bit, like, okay, I can do this. But then we also wanted them to keep it fun, keep it interesting for the students and make them want to participate. So we had to make sure we worked with our assistant principal who helped us support the attendance piece of it, of making sure that the students were aware what their attendance percentages were. They created competitions around that attendance performance. And it's a big celebration at the end of each month to know who has won and what their award is for that month.
Was there any other things that, so, you know, having Branching Minds is a wonderful tool in the MTSS work. Was there anything that kind of prompted you all to be looking closely to for those academic goals? Was this an issue that you'd had prior to this year that you knew you needed something to help focus on that?
I would say that we want to increase the success rate for all students. And so we look at a lot of data. Now, we do take quite a few assessments, of course, with our end of the year assessment being the standards of learning from the state of Virginia. And we're proud to say that we are fully accredited this year, and we intend on maintaining that full accreditation status. So with that in mind, we're using the data of the assessments that our students are required to take. And we can, that basically will pinpoint our gaps that students have. And we use that to set their goals. And so we have, you know, the tier one, tier two, tier three is what we use here. And with that, we put their goals in the system and it tracks what we're doing with the kids, which is really important. And you can actually see the growth and Branching Minds. You record each day and how many minutes that you are tutoring or working with the students. And over time, you can go back and see where you've tracked it. And you can also see if the students are absent, because that can also speak volumes for their success rate. You know, is absenteeism really factoring into their success and whether they're growing?
And just to add to what you were asking us as well, yeah, we did see a need for it, because like when I first came to Woodbury, I had an in-depth conversation. We talked about like, what did Woodbury need at that time and how could we best support our students in growing? And one of the things that they suggested was like, we needed to highlight their strengths. Like, what are they doing well? Let's have a student of the month. Let's praise them. Let's put the criteria out there for students who want to achieve that. And then with the academic piece, we had students that always wanted to know, like, how close am I? What can I do to get closer? So then we implemented trackers. Each classroom has a classroom tracker on top of a student tracker where the students are monitoring their progress as well with their goals. And I think them having that tangible evidence of them seeing how they're growing has been impactful as well with incorporating the tool with Branching Minds for us to see how much of an impact are we truly having? How many minutes are we truly meeting for their intervention? But then the students also have that tracker where they're holding themselves accountable for their learning and they're driving it.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big part of that motivation is finding those things that are easy to track and keep track of, like attendance, I think is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. And it's just in that motivation of like motivating kids to get to school can snowball into motivating them towards their goal. And not always we know that like the academic goals are often the like sort of the last to see the other efforts, right? Attendance, you know, being in class, all of those things impact that academic goal. And so I think that's a, you know, coming back to that attendance piece of like, that's a great start. It's a great spot to start in and build that momentum, you know, because we were talking about momentum, you guys as being Momentum Award winners, and knowing that like, that's a big part of it is just building that momentum for students and helping keep them motivated. And so your monthly PBAS incentive system seems like to play a key role in motivating these students. Tell us a little bit more about what this system entails, because you talked a little bit about the student of the month and things like that. Can you share how this, and then maybe share how it's maybe been received by students and staff so far this year?
Well, I would like to say that along with my three cohorts, we sit down with our principal every Friday and we have a instructional team meeting. And so when we started the school year, we sat down and looked at the calendar and we decided what events or what ways that we could engage our students with the PBIS engagement piece. And so we already know, you know, what is going to come in the future and the ones that we've had previously. Some of the ones that we've had, you'll have to help me out on some of them, but we've had popcorn incentive parties. We've had
ice cream Sunday,
snow globe
party.
Ice cream Sunday reward, I believe.
So we thought about PBIS events that we had had in previous years that had high student turnout. And we made a calendar, as Ms. Carr was stating, to say what we would award each group with the highest rate of attendance that month for, like, the first time it was a popcorn party. Then after that, it was a glow party. Then after that, it was a Sunday party, so that we could do things that interest students, but also had them motivated to come to school. And for the first two parties, fifth grade was in the lead.
Yes.
And by that third party, second grade knocked them out. And they were so excited. It was like an uproar. And we were glad to just see students be motivated just behind showing up, doing what is actually required of them, made them excited. And then another thing that Ms. Carr touched on, too, is that we work together collaboratively as a team to think about what things worked for us and then how can we leverage those when we're making these choices. So one of the things that you spoke on was Student of the Month, which was something that we wanted to kick off at the beginning of the year. And the criteria for Student of the Month is that we want students to show up 90% of the time. We want students to not have any behavioral referrals. We want students to be able to make sure they're attending three out of the 5 days that we do hands-on intervention and computer-supported intervention. And we wanted to make sure that students were being accountable for their engagement in class, because we have a new system as well that we implemented called the continuum of engagement, where they're monitoring their own engagement, and being those type of scholars in the classroom is what enters them into this raffle each month to be the student of the month. And every grade level has their own jar where they enter the names, and based off of those names is how we pull the student of the month. But the process with that, it goes home with a praise report, which is an academic card that kind of tells the parents, what did the student specifically do to earn the Student of the Month award, so that the parents also are able to see how we're incentivizing the students and they have something that's tangible at home to say, okay, this is how my scholar is performing. Another thing we do as a leadership team is that we work together closely with the teachers. So in our discussions, we kind of like sit down and we talk about what teachers are taking in stride, the things that we're implementing, how they're progressing with it, how are their students in turn responding to it, how are their parents responding to it. And based off of that data, we select a teacher of the month. And then that teacher is then shouted out on the intercom, their name and picture and all the facts that they want us to know about them go up on our television prompter in our main atrium. And then it also goes out on our newsletter, which goes out every Friday, so that that teacher is then spotlighted.
I love that. I love that it's not just about student recognition, but the staff as well. Like, it brings everybody a part of that. I can ask this to Ashley or Rebetta. What is there any kind of special memories that are moments from the last semester that you can kind of think about to kind of illustrate the impact that it's had so far, some of the work that you've done?
Well, if you go down our hallway, you can see we have like an attendance board and every teacher's name is on the attendance board and a star is denoted for that class that wins for the attendance. And so I've heard some conversations between, you know, even the teachers are like, you know, well, this month, third grade didn't quite get it, but we're really going to work hard. You know, they're going to encourage their students to attend school more regularly so that, you know, this competition thing really does work. The kids are excited, but the teachers are also excited about it. So that's one thing. Anything else that you could
think of? Yeah, and I would say the students do notice when what's out in the hallway, and they definitely talk about it, like she said. And, you know, some people would think, well, does it really matter? It actually does matter, because the students do discuss it and they get upset. I think the fifth grade got upset when they were kind of bumped out of winning the attendance prize.
Another thing that we do is we have our academic celebrations every quarter. And I have noticed that when we are in the gym and assembly type fashion, the children are so excited. You know, if you mention who the attendance winners were, if you mention who the spotlight student winner was, their names, you know, they're celebrating each other. And I think, and we also have shadow boxes with pictures of the students. Mm-hmm. And so they all want to see their picture up there.
But not only that, other teachers that come in to make observations and district personnel that walk through, they notice it because we've had questions asked about, well, what is this? Tell me a little bit more about this. So, you know, people are excited, I think, about what's happening over here.
How do you feel like that's impacted like morale or even just how that collective teacher efficacy that we all strive to achieve? How do you feel like that's the work that you've done has impacted that so far?
I think the teachers in the past years, I think so much of the focus on what do we need to do better? What can you do more of? And I think morale was low because we focused more on what can we do better instead of focusing on also the positive. There needs to be a balance. Yes, we need to focus on what can we do better, but we also need to focus on what are we doing right? And let's celebrate the successes that we have. Every small success is important and it leads to overall growth. So I just think the fact that they realize that we're trying to balance positive with the negative, and I think that's really helped with morale a whole lot.
Would agree exactly with what Harper said, because I think our teachers were more receptive because we wanted to see what was already in place that they were using, what were they doing, and now how can we track this to make data and evidence for ourselves so that we are accountable for it. But I think that was what made our teachers buy in, that they realized that we wanted to highlight the things that they were already doing and put it on a broader spectrum for everyone to see. And not to say, okay, this is what we need to do to improve. But this was like a tool that helped support what they were already doing and just elevating it. And I think that made our teachers buy in very quickly. Like we said before, we scaffolded a little bit where some teachers were a little resistant in the beginning. We helped them track their attendance. We helped them track their interventions in Branching Minds. But then eventually, 1 week, it got so busy, we couldn't do it for them. And they went in there and did it themselves. And it was like, I felt so good. I felt so great. It was so easy. Why didn't you tell me it was this easy? I was like, some things just have to be like scaffold in. I said, just like we scaffold for students, we scaffold for teachers. And I think a lot of them appreciated that we didn't say that this is something you have to do, but we got their buy-in, we got their support. And then we rolled out our PBIS initiative tied in with our NTSS. It made it so much easier. It was not something new to them. It was stuff they were already doing. We just highlighted it.
You know, that's so true. There's so much of MTSS that is things that educators are already doing. It's just putting them under a system, sort of having a systematic approach to this. Because I think, you know, that's one of those myths that we talk about here on the podcast. MTSS isn't just another thing. Like there's a lot of educators that believe that, oh, you're making us do that other thing on top of all this other stuff. But really it is just sort of like a bringing together the things that you're already doing. Because, you know, good educators are already doing interventions. They're already providing that extra targeted support or one-on-one attention to students. Like they're already doing a lot of those things. And so it's good that you've kind of started there. I think that that matters. And I also think, Ashley, you named that thing about how there's that pressure that of like, oh, we always have to continue to get better. We always have to improve. And there's not a recognition of what am I already doing right? Because sometimes you need to hear those. I mean, there's science behind the fact if you're not highlighting those things that you are doing right, you need that little dopamine hit of where am I winning? What are the things that I'm doing right?
I also wanted to say that I think that our teachers, it has been like a shift of mindset, you know, because if you've been in education for any length of time, you know, teachers don't want to have like one more thing that they have to have added to their plates. So yeah. I have to give Miss Brandon her kudos because she has come in and she has really taken Branching Minds, you know, just full-heartedly, and she has shown our teachers a lot. And it's helped us as coaches because, see, we work alongside our teachers just quite often, frequently, just, you know, every day. And so while they're learning the system, we're also learning the system. And for me, it's been good to have everything in one place. And when I want to go in to see, you know, how our students are doing in reading and whatever a platform that we're using, it's just easy to see it all in one place. And I can sit down with whatever teacher that I'm coaching with and we can look at it or we can work together because they're not just their students, they're our students.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I want to ask a couple things because you guys did some unique things that sort of made your nomination or your application for the Momentum Award stand out. And so I want to talk about your fun social media posts about encouraging students to be at school. And it's no small task to get staff and students engaged in this kind of stuff. So tell us a little bit about some of the strategies you've used to encourage that consistent. Yeah, you talked a little bit about the competition part, but what other things like this social media post that hopefully you'll tell me a little bit more about are helping bring in those students or get them to buy into this incentive?
Misty is our ITRT at Woodbury Hills Elementary School, and she's amazing. I mean, she gets students and teachers bought in very easily. She says, all I need is 2 minutes of your time. Mm-hmm. And she tells them the rundown of the video she wants to shoot. And she makes it happen in 2 minutes of your time. Because she's so good at it, teachers are always like, oh, yeah, I can give you 2 minutes. I can give you that, no problem. But we didn't notice how the videos were catching such a view on social media until the one in the hallway on the fifth grade hallway. And it was like, your attendance matters. We need you to come to school. And like teachers are popping in and out. And that just went up 30,000 views like that quick. But we didn't even know that that was a thing. But she was like, I want to really push this and get teachers involved, get the students involved to let them know that we want them here, mm-hmm. that we appreciate them being here. And she's the person that comes up with all of those ideas. And she asks you, you know, at random, can you give me 2 minutes? And teachers comply, and students do too. And they love it. And we all love them. And they have become a hit on social media. I didn't think it was, you know, as big as it is, but it really matters. And the kids always talking.
They do. And the parents also do as well, because it's not just the kids, you know, trying to get the kids to come. But sometimes it's, you know, getting the parents to get up to get their kids here or to get their kids on the bus. And when they see that it matters whether their student is here or not and that we care, I think the buy-in is even stronger when you have the parents behind you as well.
Well, and I was going to say, it's about getting the families involved in it and understanding the importance. Because sometimes, you know, you just think here and there, students are absent or they've been sick or whatever. And sometimes as a parent, you may not think it all adds up to how many ever days, you know, like that. What is it? I think it's like 10 days in a school year. I forget what makes the chronic absent. But
I think it's anything over 7 without a doctor's note is when it becomes chronic absenteeism.
Yeah. And
people don't realize how quickly that can happen.
Yes. I honestly really do think that there's parents that don't understand how quickly that can happen. I know I have siblings that they're like, yeah, I can't have my kid be absent anymore. And they're surprised because it does happen quickly. And so I think doing the education part for parents as well. And I think social media is a great way to do that because they pay attention to those things and those kind of things grab people's attention. So I love that you sort of have someone that can have that vision of fun videos. And it's a great way to sort of stay relevant to parents, especially maybe young parents who that's their mode of communication more than a newsletter or email. So I was going to also ask, so, you know, part of this work is really being very data focused as well. And I know that that's a part of what you guys have been doing in working with your teachers on sort of having those data driven discussions. Can you tell me a little bit about maybe what it used to look like, maybe what those data conversations and then maybe how it's been changing now that you're sort of having some more results or more momentum?
So we can talk about our PLC meetings that we have every Tuesday and Thursday, but our Tuesday PLC meetings are specifically focused on data. And so the teachers use their most recent assessment. And usually we only have time to do either math, science, reading, or what we would call ELA or social studies. So we try to incorporate all subjects and give all teachers time to reflect on their data. But they come in, we have a data protocol sheet that needs to be filled out. And we look at where the kids scored and then what is it specifically that they missed the most of and why. So we want to really focus in on, was it the way the question was asked? Have we not taught the material yet? Or are there misconceptions that the students are having that we need to go back and fix? Now, could some of this be Does it always need to be retaught as a whole group? Maybe. Or sometimes it could be just a few students that need a little bit of extra tutoring, meaning we'll pull them over to our table and we'll work with the students on those skills that are specific to what they had a problem on the assessment. So it looks a lot different because our teachers really have to dive into their data to find out what is it that we need to do to close these gaps, or maybe what do we need to do differently in our classroom to address an issue that we didn't realize was there. It's very eye-opening. And sometimes, too, with the teachers sitting around the table, maybe one teacher's data for a question is pretty good, and another teacher's might not be as good. So then what are you doing in your classroom that maybe I need to incorporate in my classroom? But I'll pass it along to Ms. Brandon and Ms. Carr, too, if they want to speak more about it.
I think I would only like to add that one of the key components that you just touched on with the swapping of information, a lot of times teachers, because they're in it real time, they are able to share information with us, too. Because I remember meeting with one grade level, and we were like, why is grammar suffering in this grade level? Like, is it the way it's being taught, the time of day? Is it the content? And come to find out, they were like, because you put it at the end of the day, things happen that pull away from the lesson by the end of the day, that we should really put it in the bubble block that we have for 30 minutes before we go to lunch. So that way, when we come back from lunch, we're able to hold their attention in the lesson for the reading lesson up until the end. And if that gets cut off, we can piggyback off of that the next day. And they even give us ideas on looking at their data and seeing issues within scheduling that we could change to be able to impact students. Another thing that we noticed within the last month was time of day. So we did not know how to look at like our behavior referrals because we're not admin. We don't have access to that. However, we found a key component and branch in Minds that has our social emotional learning support and our behavior supports, where there was a report in there that we could look at a specific student and determine what time of day is the student most likely to be out of class. And it gave us a bar graph to know, okay, from 11 to 12, the student might need a one-to-one, or they might need additional supports, or they might need small group instruction. So we were able to make instructional adjustments using the Branch of Minds data in coherence with the teacher's data, and it helped to better support the student. And now we're not losing as much instructional time as we were with some of our frequent flyers. We have some students that we see on a daily in ISS who we have not seen since implementing some of these systems, which we're really excited about. And of course, for this week and last week, we hadn't seen any of them. We were able to use our resource teacher for ISS to help support with instructional support. And that was very eye-changing for us.
Man, some of those small things, right? Just identifying this time of day the student needs support is such a clear impact, right? Because then that's more time that student can be in class. Like, they're not in ISS. Yeah. They're not with the principal or whoever. It's providing, and it's being preventative for the future learning loss as well. So I love that. That's a great example of like how you're digging into the data and using it.
I think I just echo what my cohorts have said, because I've just seen how even our data meetings, how they're just running so much more efficiently as the teachers are coming in. They're feeling like, you know, what they have to bring to the table is going to help their students, because it helps with grouping. We can look and see, oh, this group of kids need this help or this support. And it's just made a big difference.
I want to recognize just the creativity, because it takes, you can have the data in front of you, but it takes very creative colleagues and educators to sort of put all that, those pieces together. And it clearly, like, you guys are leading this work and inspiring your colleagues as well.
You asked us a question earlier, and I didn't have a response to it then, but I have it now. You asked us about a specific memory that we might have of the impact that's happened, right? Okay, and I'll leave names out of it, but I'll be very specific and quick so you can clip this to the beginning. Okay, the memory I have happened on Thursday of last week. We were short staffed, and a teacher was waiting for her specialty teacher to show up so that she could join the PLC meeting. So I happened to be walking down the hallway, and I asked her which specialty she was waiting on. Come to find out, we didn't have a sub for that specialty. So I said, okay, let me take over your room while you go to the PLC. She says, okay, in this particular room, we have a first grade frequent flyer. Most times the student goes home by 12 o'clock, given every day, 12 o'clock. We all know who the student is. This particular day, this is at 9 o'clock for their PLCs. I go in the room, the teacher comes out. They're in a routine that the teacher has already set for how they put away their Chromebooks and get out their materials for specials. So by the time they get in their seat, I'm like, okay, now I have to pivot on something to do with the class because I wasn't prepared to do this. And I was like, oh, Valentine's Day is coming. Let's make Valentine's Day cards. Quick, easy. She has paper there. We pull it out. Every student gets to choose their paper. Now, I wanted the students to do a little bit of writing before they did their card. So I had them get a post-it. So the students had to like write out what they wanted to say, like who the card was going to be to, what was the card for, what did they want to draw the card. So they had to brainstorm all of that out. This particular student finished in 2 minutes. He was like, I got it. I got it already. I'm ready. And I was like, well, let me check it. Go over his paper. I said, is this everything you want on your card? And he was like, yes, I'm going to draw a rainbow. I'm going to draw my mom. I'm going to draw me. I'm going to draw a desk where I have my books and I did all my work and there's going to be a rainbow on top. Then I'm going to put some grass. Oh, I got to put a sun. And like, he just, this is the way his brain thinks. It runs that quickly. And he was just telling me everything he had to put on the paper. And I said, okay. So I gave him a check mark and I said, you can go ahead and start your card. He finished his card 20 minutes before the entire class finished. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do with him? So I told him, I said, you did a great job. Your card was beautiful. I said, your mother's going to really love this. I said, how about we keep it out on your desk so that when your teacher comes back, you're able to show it to her. He was like, okay, I can do that. He was like, so what do I do now? I said, well, I still have some students working. I'm waiting on one student to come back from the nurse so that I can get them caught up on the lesson. I said, how about you be my timekeeper and you keep an eye out for when your teacher's going to return? So this particular student gets support for outside support that pushes in the classroom for behavior. His support comes in and says, hey, you want to take a walk? He's like, no, I don't want to take a walk. He was like, well, I think you should take a walk with me. He's like, no, I don't want to take a walk. And I tried to explain to the support person. I said, I think he doesn't want to take a walk because he has a job right now. He's watching the time. He's making sure everybody's in their places. And then he's waiting for the teacher to come back so he can share his assignment. So he turns to him and said, I did all my work. I stayed on task. I sat in my seat. I did everything she asked me to do. And I turned to the support person. I said, his mother would be really proud because he really made a beautiful car. And the child didn't hear that. He said, you got to call my mother? I was like, no, we're not going to call your mom. I was like, I was just letting him know how well you did. And your mom's going to be so proud when she sees the card. He was like, yeah, I did really good. Like, I want to stay today. I want to stay in the classroom. So as soon as the teacher came, he tipped his head out. He said, she's coming. She's coming. I said, okay, get your card. I said, give her a minute to step over the threshold of the door. And then you explain to her what you did. Soon as she came in, he had his card there. He was like, Miss Sis, no, I sat in my seat. I did my work. I made this card for my mom. It says, Happy Valentine's Day. That's my mom. That's me. This is the rainbow. That's my desk. That's my work. That's the grass. That's the sun. He was like, see what I did? And she was like, yeah, I see. And like, she was excited just as he was excited. But it was so funny because he was waiting on that time for her to go out so that he could tell her that day he stayed in school until dismissal. And I told them, I said, whatever we're doing is working for him. I said, because I haven't seen him go home. It was a short week. It was 3 days. He had went home that week. I said, and then he was excited when his support person came that he did not have to go for a walk. He did not have to take a cool down. He wanted to stay engaged in his classroom, which is rare for the student. And I told her, I said, whatever you're doing in this classroom is working.
Love that story. That's so great.
It was.
It's so great to hear, like, you know, that hard work that, because it's not just about the teacher in the classroom, but it's about a team of people recognizing in the way that how can we support the student? How can we build the system? You know, even just your stepping in for that teacher, you knew the student, you knew sort of like some ways to incentivize him and help him, as well as the support teacher and the other members of the staff. So it's about the staff together working to help support students. And it's not just always on the one teacher. So I love that story. I actually just feel like that's a great place to you guys are doing such hard work. And if no one's told you today, thank you for the hard work that you're doing. And it's so fun to be able to recognize your staff and you guys as well about the hard work. That's what we love here at Branching Minds, is being able to do that. And I know myself as a former educator, like sometimes you don't often get these kind of recognition. So I love the things that you guys are doing to to support your staff and to support the students at Woodbury Hills. So thank you so much for being here and stepping in and having this conversation with me. So I'm excited to share this with our audience as well. So
thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.